that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. But peace shall be upon Israel. The title at the top of Psalm 125, which is the same in your Bible as mine, A Song of Degrees. A Song of Degrees. From Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, there's 15 Psalms, and they're all entitled A Song of Degrees. But I think the best title would be Songs Ascending, Ascending Up. I thought these 15 Psalms were sung as the people journeyed up to Jerusalem on special occasions, and that may be the case. Then some commentators hold the view these psalms were sung on the steps of the temple, because there was 15 steps leading up to the temple, but it doesn't really matter. They're a song of ascent, ascending up. This is a great psalm of comfort and assurance to God's people. I have read this psalm on many occasions as I visit the sick or in a visitation into some of our care homes. This psalm is for they who trust in the Lord. They who trust in the Lord. Those that don't trust in the Lord can't claim the promises contained in this psalm. It's only for they who trust in the Lord. It's not for the unsaved. They can't claim the promises, can they? It's just like the 23rd psalm, isn't it? The unsaved sometimes sing, "The Lord is my shepherd," but they can't claim the promises in the 23rd psalm, because the Lord is not their shepherd, is it? And I have visited, in fact not visited, I have been at many funeral services down the years, and so have you. And people that have been laid to rest that I have known for years, and I can't judge, and I'm not going to judge, but they left no testimony behind them. And I hear these scriptures read, John's Gospel, chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." And then Paul says again, "I would not have you ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as ours which have no hope." You hear the quote, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And these scriptures have no bearing on an unsaved soul. These are for God's people, they who trust in the word, in the Lord. The word trust means to flee in the Lord for refuge, for refuge. I thought of the hymn writer again when I was thinking of this. The hymn writer put, "Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul in thee. Leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me." The pastor spoke one Lord's Day morning ago in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and you get the promise, he shall direct thy paths." Proverbs 29 and 25, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Psalm 118, verse 8, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." Job could say, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." And none of us ever experienced the troubles that Job had, and yet with all, Job still kept his trust in the Lord. They who trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. Mount Zion is first mentioned way back in Deuteronomy and it was one of the cities of refuge. It was in the land which the children of Israel first possessed when they entered the promised land. Mount Zion was a place of refuge, you remember, for David. When David was hunted like an animal or a bird, he took refuge in the stronghold in Zion. David took refuge to 2 Samuel 5 and 7. And he says in that scripture, and the same is the city of David. Deuteronomy 33 and 27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall destroy them. Psalm 46 and 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very blessed help in the time of trouble. You know, I'm sure you have remarked, I refer very often to some of the old gospel hymns that we don't sing seemingly any longer. I thought of a hymn that I heard sung many years ago. In fact, leaving the Gary Hall after a mission one time many years ago, they formed a choir for a while. And it went for a while, but it went to the wall after some time. And they used to sing a hymn, "The Lord's our rock in whom we hide, a shelter in the time of storm, secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm." It's a place of refuge. Then look at the steadfastness of the mount. It cannot be removed, but it abideth forever. You know, when you and I trusted the Lord for salvation, it was ours and no one can rob us of it. God gave it to us as a free gift. And the devil, or all the demons of hell, cannot rob us of it. Isaiah 49:16, he says, "Behold, I have engraven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." Engraven. You women folk like jewelry, and you wouldn't like fake jewelry, would you? You look for a hallmark on it, don't you? Something that's engraved in it with so much carat gold or so much silver. And that's just what's meant there. We're engraven in the palms of his hands. I want to read you a verse or two from Luke 19. You needn't turn to it. Luke 19, I think it is. If I can get it here. Luke 10 and 19, sorry. The Lord Jesus, remember, sent his disciples out in 2 and 2. And he says, "Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemies, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." And I think the rendering there is, "are forever written in heaven." Your names are forever written in heaven. Yes, in Revelation 21, the Lord is speaking of heaven, and he says, "There shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth. Now he that walketh abomination or maketh lie, but they who are written in the Lamb's book of life." Your name this evening is recorded in the Lamb's book of life in heaven, and it's recorded there for time and for eternity. A place of refuge. The stability of the mount. But then it abideth forever. It is steadfast. It cannot be removed. Remember how he said in John's Gospel, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man shall be able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." You're in his hand tonight, and he's in the Father's hand. You're doubly secure. Can I quote again from another hymn? "When we have been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we'll have no last days to sing God's praise than when we first begun." Can the infinite mind take that in? You and I tonight, the enemy death on our trail on a daily basis. And if the Lord tarries, there's a day coming he'll catch up with us. But you know, when we reach the other side, we'll be there for 10,000 years in eternity and never have begun. Ah yes, we can say, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory. So it's a place of refuge, it's a place of stability, it's a place that abideth the steadfast, but it's a place of God's presence. And I want to read you a verse or two from 1 Kings, place of God's presence, 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 1. It's to do with Solomon after he built the temple. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and the chiefs of the fathers of the children of Israel unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they may bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month Etham, which is the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark, and they brought up the ark of the Lord and the tabernacle of the congregation. And the ark always speaks of God's presence, and the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those did the priests and the Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto its place, and into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spring forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above, and they drew out the staves that the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the ark, and they were not seen without, and they were there unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there, and the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. It came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, would you read this, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. This Shekinah glory filled the house of the Lord. But then Mount Zion not only speaks of God's presence, it was a place of praise. Psalm 9, verse 11. Sing praises unto the Lord who dwelleth in Zion. And you remember the story so well, and the Lord was entering up into Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21 is known as Palm Sunday. And it says in verse 5, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, making a sitting upon an ass, and a coat the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the ass and the coat and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a great multitude spread their garments in the way, others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed Christ, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Ah yes, a place of praise. So Zion is a place of refuge. It's a stable place. It's a steadfast place. It speaks of God's presence. It speaks of God's praise. And it's a secure place. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. See that word round about? It just means to encircle round about. How long have the mountains been round about Jerusalem? They were there long before Jerusalem was ever built. They were there from creation, and they remain there as long as the Lord, as the world lasts. So the Lord is round about his people, what, from henceforth, even forever, continually. He's continuing, the mountains are there 24/7, and the Lord's continuing round his people 24/7. For the enemy to get at Jerusalem, that had to climb mountains. The people in Jerusalem were above their enemies. They had a great advantage over their enemies. Before the enemy of the soul could attack us, it has to break through the circle of defense the Lord has placed around us. Remember old Job of old? And the devil said, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil said, you put a hedge about him that I cannot get in. No, neither he could unless the Lord allowed it. You know, the devil couldn't get us at us, but you know, sometimes we give the devil an opening to attack us, do or do or not. Sometimes through loose living, we can give him a chance. Sometimes through wrong company. Sometimes found in places we never should be in. Sometimes shady dealing, give him a chance. These things can give Satan an opening to attack us. We need to be on our guard 24/7, as I've said. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 22, he says, abstain from all appearance of evil, abstain from the very appearance of it. 1 Peter 2:11, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. I don't know what your experience is, but the old man, the flesh, is the biggest problem with Christian. It is for me. Revelation 12 and 17, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Provide things honest. And these are places where the devil could get at us. But then verse 3, and it's almost half past, I want to close here. Verse 3 of the Psalm says, the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. The rod was a stick used for correction, or a stick to punish with. If the first mention of the rod way back in Exodus chapter 4 has to do with Moses. Remember, Moses went into Pharaoh on many occasions, and I'm going to tell you one or two of them. God told Moses to take the rod and stretch it forth the hand over the rivers of Egypt, and they became blood. Stretch forth the rod, smite the dust, and the dust will become lice. Ah, yes, the rod was a rod of affliction. Proverbs 10 and 13. If the lips of him that have a understanding, wisdom, is found, but in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Proverbs 26 and 3. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Proverbs 13 and 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth his son, he chasteneth him by times. And the last mention of the rod is found in Revelation 19. I just want to read it to you. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 15, I think it is. Yes. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he shall tread the winepress of his fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Ah, yes, that's speaking of the end of the tribulation period, the rod. But the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth forever. Do you ever get doubts? Is there days sometimes, putting it that the sun doesn't shine? Well, there'll be days that the mountains will not be seen round Jerusalem, but that's not a mist and fog. But they're still there, you know. And the Lord is still there on a daily basis. Right, Ronnie, we'll hand it over to you.